a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. A lot to get to on this episode of the show, as BYU basketball was at a record-setting pace. My goodness, 18 three-pointers from the Cougar Cagers last night in their huge win over the Loyola Marymount Lions, and BYU now has 20 wins on the season. So we'll discuss that. Hope you're having a happy Valentine's Day. And because of Valentine's, I'm going to share what I love about BYU football right now. Five things that I love about the BYU football program right now, so you don't want to miss that. And then also previewing BYU versus San Diego coming up tomorrow at Jenny Craig Pavilion. So a lot to get to. Settle on in, put the AirPods in, maybe turn off Justin Bieber just a little bit. I know that BYU was on fire last night from behind the three-point line, and then the fire continued when you turned to your Spotify, your Apple Music, me personally, Apple Music guy, when you played the Justin Bieber album. Hey, don't be ashamed, people. Don't let people shame you in saying Justin Bieber's terrible. That new album is fire, man. It is really good. I'm enjoying myself. So I'm taking a break right now to do this podcast from listening to the Justin Bieber album, because it's been on loop all day today listening to the Biebs. So again, hope you're having a happy Valentine's Day. Follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. Follow KSL Sports at, of course, KSLSports.com, and all our socials at KSL Sports, and me on Instagram, Mitch Harper KSL. Subscribe to the podcast too. 5-star rating, preferably. It helps out the show a ton. Again, BYU takes down Loyola Marymount 77-54 in record-setting fashion. They knocked down 18 three-pointers, a single-game record in BYU basketball history. And this is how it sounded on the BYU Sports Network on KSL News Radio.
Evan Troy for three.
And there it is! There it is! For the first time in BYU basketball history, it's 18 threes in a game. 18 triples has never been done until tonight. The BYU three party here in LA.
What a performance from BYU, and it's crazy to think that they started the game from beyond the arc at 1-for-8 from three. BYU takes down Loyola 77-54. They're now 20-7 on the season in sole possession of second place in the West Coast Conference with a 9-3 record and currently number 15 in the KenPom ranking. So BYU is rolling right now. They've won their last five games. Since that setback against San Francisco back on January 25th, they've won the last five. And since the Utah loss back on December 4th, BYU has only lost three games, and those three losses have come on the road to St. Mary's, Gonzaga, and San Francisco, all teams that are in the top 90 in the KenPom rankings at the moment, with Gonzaga, of course, being number two and being only a one-loss team. So BYU continues to assemble a great tournament resume, and the latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi has BYU as a 7th seed in the West region playing the Purdue Boilermakers in a 7-10 game coming up in the NCAA tournament. So BYU is in a great spot. They're playing well. And the thing is, too, what's amazing is, again, as I mentioned, they started out 1-for-8 from beyond the arc against LMU. And Mark Pope was a little bit nervous about this LMU game because of the physicality that the Lions play with. And it's a completely different style than what you see most nights in the West Coast Conference. This was Pope after the game on the unselfishness of this team.
This Alex Barcelo, for example, right now this year, I don't ever run a play for him. And that can be frustrating as a player. We go through, you know, every game day, we do a shoot around where we do 10 minutes where we just go through our play call package for the night. So we'll go through 18 plays, maybe 16 or 18 plays. And for AB to come and go through 18 plays and not one single one of those plays be designed for him, it could be really frustrating. And there's been times in the season where I know he's looked at me sideways and be like, hey, you know, I'm shooting great too, man. How come I can't get a play call? But for him to trust this team, that it's not about the attacking action of a play call. That's just kind of the beginning of it. And tonight the ball ends up in his hands 8 times for 8 great looks at 3, 6-for-8, didn't get a single play call, and that is a great testament to the character of this team, that these guys are trying to make plays for each other. It's beautiful. And we're getting to watch something that's never happened in the history of BYU before, and we're all really lucky to be able to watch it because it's so cool.
Alex Barcelo's performance and his play as of late, I think, is huge for BYU going forward. Because you think about this year, BYU's a senior-laden team. We all know that. 7 seniors. But I think some people maybe on the outside looking in say BYU's got to cash in this year because this is the window to do some damage in the NCAA tournament. I would pause on that thought because I think that BYU could still be really good next year, in large part because of Alex Barcelo. You heard that commentary right there from Mark Pope. No plays are being drawn up for Alex Barcelo in this offense this year. None. And he's playing out of position, to be quite honest. He's at the 2 spot. He's more comfortable at the number 1 position at point guard. Barcelo going 6-for-8 for 18 points, all of it coming from beyond the arc. That's huge. 4 rebounds, 3 assists in 34 minutes of play. Barcelo is a big-time talent. He's huge. And I think that for people to just assume that next year will be a steep drop, I disagree. I think BYU could be really good next year, too. This program is in a good place at the moment. BYU basketball is rolling, and it's fun to watch. And what's amazing, too, about last night's game is that Evan Troy, as you heard moments ago, he's the guy that knocks down the record-setting 18-3, a walk-on, and he gets the assist from Blaze Neild, another walk-on. So you got guys up and down the entire bench who can knock down threes. But one guy last night that was kind of quiet was Yoeli Childs. Childs only had 9 points, 3 of 11 from the field. 3 of his 9 points came from the free throw line. He did have 6 boards, which now puts him over the 1,000 rebound mark, only the 2nd player in BYU basketball history to do such a feat. But, you know, Childs, his impact, though, even though he didn't score much, it's felt in many different ways. And you can see his impact that he makes. I mean, watch how Yoeli passes when he's getting monstered and he's getting double teamed. He's so patient down on the block, and he finds the open shooter and gives them a clean look so they can get a clean shot off. Yoeli Childs' impact can't be understated. And also, TJ Haas, 17 points, 5 of 11 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. He's now 9th all-time in scoring at BYU. So the Cougars right now have the 6th best all-time scorer in program history, the 9th best all-time scorer in program history, but still, more work to be done as they got another game coming up on Saturday, and this team, this program, is in a good spot as they continue to pursue their first NCAA tournament bid in 5 years. But I know one thing that's making Cougar fans sweat a little bit right now is the status of Dalton Nixon. Dalton suffered what at the moment looked like a gruesome injury, and maybe it was. Who knows? Dalton somehow, some way, walked off the court. It looked a little bit
like Paul George's injury back a couple years ago. I think it was back in, gosh, what was it, 2013. Paul George had a gruesome injury in Las Vegas at a Team USA event right under the basket. Somehow, Dalton Nixon walked off on his own accord, but instantly when he got to the bench, he took off his shoe and he took off his sock, and he had an ice pack on his ankle. Not for sure exactly that it is an ankle injury, but Dalton Nixon makes an impact in so many ways. We had Dave Rose on Cougar Sports Saturday a couple months ago, and he talked about how Dalton is just making winning championship plays. He doesn't need to score. He doesn't. And you saw that last night. The man had, gosh, it was only 2 points. He didn't even make a field goal. But his impact is felt on the defensive end, getting loose balls, rebounds. He just makes impacts everywhere you look. So his status going forward is a big thing for BYU, because just the moment when you thought BYU was finally getting healthy, the moment you thought they were finally getting healthy, Gavin Baxter, Trevin Nell, then this happens. This was Mark Pope in the post game on Dalton Nixon.
We cannot lose Dalton. I don't know what our medical crew has to do, but we can't lose him, because he is the heart and soul of this team, and especially on the he makes so many things work on the offensive end of the floor for us, where he doesn't get the credit for the assist or the basket, but he made the whole play work. And on the defensive end, he just comes up with, he causes so many empty possessions for the other team, and we just got to get him better, because he's crucial to what we're trying to do right now.
We're going to have Dalton Nixon's father, Kevin Nixon, on Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow between 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. here on KSL News Radio. So be on the lookout for that. Kevin, of course, former BYU player, a basketball junkie. Want to get an update on Dalton's status, but also just get his thoughts on this team, because right now, despite the injury to Dalton, and he's a fighter, and I would be hesitant to say he's out for the year, because I would not put it past that guy. Somehow, some way, he's going to gut check it and play the rest of the season. He's just a warrior, man. Dalton Nixon is a gritty dude, and he has improved his game leaps and bounds from prior seasons here at BYU. But there's a lot at stake right now for this BYU basketball team. And every game, even the one coming up on Saturday against a 9-win San Diego team, they're all huge, because, as we know, any loss could potentially sink BYU's tournament resume is in positioning and seed line for the NCAA tournament. And Alex Barcelo is loving every minute of it.
It's so much fun. I think this team is just so hungry for that. And we don't really look at it as pressure. We just look at it as a new opportunity, just because we are that team that battles, and we're going to bring it every night and lay it out on the floor. And that's why we have so much fun together playing, because everyone's bought into that mentality.
BYU in San Diego tips off Saturday night, 8 p.m. tip Mountain Time, 7 Pacific, in America's finest city. It's going to be televised on CBS Sports Network. And it's also going to be heard on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Network coverage will begin at 7 here on the station. And BYU should roll. They're going to be probably a sizable favorite in this game. And when you look at the disparity just offensively, BYU right now in the KenPom rankings is the fifth best efficient offense in college basketball. San Diego, they're 326th out of 353 teams. So this should be a game that BYU cruises and they take care of business and just get it done like they did last night at LMU. But as you also saw at LMU, things can be a little bit dicey at times against these WCC teams, that they've got some talent, they've got some quality personnel, they've got good coaches, and they're going to make it challenging for BYU, who this season they're not the greatest road team. BYU is still a sub-500 team in true road games this year. But keep an eye on Bron Hartfield. He's the top performer for San Diego, 6'6", kind of forward/guard. Can do a lot of different things for the Toreros. And also Joey Calcaterra, 6'3", guard, who can really stroke it. So those are two guys to keep an eye on in this game. But this San Diego team is a far cry from last year's group that was senior-laden and really talented, that made the NIT and had Isaiah Pinheiro, who I believe is with the Sacramento Kings organization. This isn't anywhere near that group. So BYU should go into Jenny Craig, the Slim Jim, and take care of business and get their 21st win. 20 wins don't mean as much as they once did because of the increase of games that are played in a college basketball season, but still, to get to 20 wins, it's a notable accomplishment. It's a sign that you're a very consistent program. And even in the dip years for BYU, you're hovering around that 20-win mark. Case in point, last year, where they won 19 games. Got to take a timeout, though. On the other side, I'll get to some BYU football conversation. What are the five things I love about BYU football at the moment? In honor of Valentine's Day, we'll hit on that here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is a love song, right? A little bit of Drake on this Valentine's Day. I've asked about you. I can't sing. I can't sing. I'm not like the Biebs. I'm not like Drake. I can't rap. I'm not good. I try. I do it a lot in my car. Can't do it, though. But this is some Valentine's music, right? It's some sensual music. I don't know. Anyway, Cougar Tracks podcast, talking to BYU football now. My five things that I love about BYU football right now. And I bring this up because I feel like with BYU fans, at times there's a lot of positivity, but there's also a big portion that's kind of negative. And I think people feel there's a lot of doom and gloom and doomsdayers with BYU football at the moment. To me, though, I still feel like there's a lot to like about BYU, despite some of the shortcomings. And believe me, they are there. I'm not trying to polish and tell you, hey, BYU football is going to win 10 games and be in the national title conversation. No, sirree. I'm not telling you that. And I'm not gonna front with you. I one thing I like about Cougar Tracks and with this platform is that I feel I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to shoot it straight to you with BYU sports. I'm not going to put the spin. I'm not going to put this angle that, hey, it's just going to be raw. It's going to be real how I'm feeling and what I'm hearing. That's what I'm going to tell you. And I don't feel like BYU football is down and out by any means. I think a lot of fans, though, maybe pockets online, I don't know how they would feel in person because, as we know, in person, people change their tune quite a bit. I've had people on Twitter tell me, you're an idiot, you don't know anything you're talking about. Not much, but sometimes they say that. And then I see those people in person, primarily Ute fans, keep that in mind. And then they say, oh, yeah, you do a good job. Nice to see you. It just doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. Like, you literally told me I am a big dummy and you know nothing about the sport and you don't know what you're talking about. And then I see him in person and it's a different attitude. I think that could be the case with BYU fans when they get very volatile, they get very upset about a loss, or they get disgruntled about realignment. I get all that. But again, there's a lot of positive still to like about this BYU football program and this year's team in 2020. And also, I saw the football video too put out on the BYU football account, which I liked seeing that quote on that grind video. A lot of players I caught in the video: Keenan Ellis, Zane Anderson, Matt Bushman, Hayden Livingston, Lopini Katoa, Tyler Algier, Mitchell Price, D'Angelo Mandel, and I believe also the new face I saw was Mason Fakahua. He looks a little bit different than what he did coming out of high school and before serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But fun to see those kind of videos in a time of the year where you get no football. Like, I know the XFL is coming up week two this weekend, but football is pretty much gone. Anyway, the five things I love about BYU football right now on this Valentine's Day 2020. No particular order, but we'll start things off as we should always start things off at BYU. It's the quarterback spot. Quarterback play is really good. It's really good for BYU. I'm not going to lie. I was talking with Alema Fatisimanu, and you heard that interview on Cougar Tracks, and he said a quote where, you know, he hasn't been around the program forever, but name a time of the program where there was more depth than right now. The only time I would point to would probably be in the 80s when you had McMahon, Steve Young, and Robbie Bosco. But that's it, though. That's the only other exception. Maybe Jim McMahon, Mark Wilson, too. That's it. I think this group, this trio of quarterbacks, is better than, say, the 2006 group, better than 2009, better than 1996, the mid-90s. I think it's better than the group that, in terms of depth, than the guys behind Ty Detmer. This is a talented quarterback room. And Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, Baylor Romney, however you want to divvy it up, that's a great trio to have at quarterback to know that you have three really good quarterbacks that can win you ball games. Now, the challenge, I think, for this group is that one guy has to make it clear he is the head and shoulders leader of the program going forward and be the unquestioned leader in the room, in the voice of the program going forward. Because I've always been of the belief that you have to have the quarterback be a leader. Great BYU football teams always have a great leader at quarterback. Point to me a great BYU football team that didn't have a great leader at quarterback. You can't. You just can't. 2009, Max Hall, great leader. 2006, John Beck, tremendous leader. Steve Sarkisian, 96. Ty Detmer. Maybe you could say 1994 John Walsh. Maybe. Because Walsh, you know, he was his personality, but he was a dang good quarterback. As far as the leader go, you could maybe question that a little. Maybe. But that's it. I mean, Jim McMahon, great leader. Steve Young, great leader. Robbie Bosco, great leader. I mean, I could go on and on. I could continue to do this. And the teams that were average or didn't meet expectations, they didn't have great leaders at quarterback. Maybe they had talented guys, but they didn't have great leaders. Someone's got to be a leader. And I look at Zach Wilson to be that guy. I think Jaren Hall is the number two guy in my depth chart, and then Baylor Romney heading into spring. But one thing with Zach, too, is, you know, I think this quarterback room, every single day, someone's got to win. And Zach Wilson's got to continue to win every single day and beat these guys out. And I think it's going to be the best thing for Zach Wilson. Another thing I love about this BYU football program right now, Matt Bushman and Kyrus Tonga. I mentioned that I saw Bushman in that On That Grind video. Bushman is going to be one of the best tight ends in college football. And I think Kyrus is going to be used in a lot of different ways, a lot of different defensive packages to create pressure in the backfield this year. I think Kalani's going to be a lot more involved, and I got to think they're going to feature Kyrus in some capacity. He doesn't come back this year if his role is not going to be expanded and enhanced to a point where he's going to have better film for the NFL scouts. Because if it's going to be status quo, why'd you come back? Transfer portal. The transfer portal is huge for BYU. And the reason I say that is because this staff is willing to go in that thing and try to get players out of the portal. I really believe that there's going to be one, maybe two more guys out of that portal that get added to the BYU football roster prior to fall camp coming up in August. And I love the fact that this staff is not shying away from it. Sometimes you look at like Big Ten programs, you look at some Power Five leagues, some of these premier brands that are high on academia, they're not all in on the grad transfer concept. They kind of scoff at it. BYU, I think it's a great thing. And I love, too, I think what was a real turning point that was kind of not discussed enough at signing day was the fact that some of the graduate programs, the biology department, the grad program in the biology, helped Devontae Henry Cole out of their schedule to show him around and kind of let him know what the program is all about. To me, it signals a change that everyone at BYU is getting on the same page to make sure they can get grad transfers into the football program. Because a couple years ago, we were hearing, you know, things that people were throwing out, blind rumors that, hey, they can't get JUCO guys, they can't get grad transfers. None of that was right, but I think it was very difficult. It was always a challenge to get guys in. And I think that process is improving. I think it's going to help BYU's football program long term. I like the schedule, too. I love the schedule. I think a lot of people rip the schedule about, oh, you're a football independent. What are you playing for? Yada, yada, yada. I was talking with Spencer Linton on BYU Sports Nation a couple nights ago and a KSL Sports contributor. He's on KSL 5 TV. Does a fantastic job. Love Spencer. Does great work on BYU TV. And we were just breaking down the schedule, Spencer and I and Zach Hicken and Hema Haymuli Jr., KSL Sports Beat guys. And we're just running through the schedule, and, man, it's an amazing schedule. BYU plays a fun and entertaining schedule. I think sometimes people need to take a step back and think, 20 years ago, you tell BYU fans you're playing this schedule, you would have loved it. You would have loved every second of it. But suddenly now in the world of college football, it's now getting frowned upon. I don't know. I don't get it. I think that this is the schedule you have to have in order to attract recruits from the transfer portal that I just mentioned, and also to show your fans you're still trying to play a high level of football. Because if you're an independent, you're just playing a bunch of Liberties, a bunch of Idaho States, a bunch of UMasses, hey, I don't want to sign up for that. I don't want to cover that. I don't want to write about that. But this schedule this year, I mean, point to me a week other than North Alabama where you instantly are just bored with the matchup. I'm not. I mean, 11 of your 12 games are fantastic matchups. And then you have Northern Illinois going to a suburb of Chicago. I love the schedule. I love independent schedules and the payoff BYU is now starting to see as an independent. Because early on in independence, it wasn't great. The schedules were kind of uneven completely, but now they are really good. They are really deep. And if you can win, you can win big and do something on a national level with these schedules. And that's a positive when you're running your program on your own dime. Last thing from me, too. Again, talking about the things I love about BYU football on this Valentine's Day. The Young Guns. BYU football tweeted out this cool graphic. Brigham's Young Guns. Ranked number 3 in total freshmen played in the nation in 2019. 35 total freshmen played last season. BYU had the most freshman starters in the FBS in 2019. I love that because now finally BYU is starting to become a program that they have more upperclassmen, they have a ton of experience, and the payoff has to show. That to me is something that, because I point to that stretch of 2002, 2003, 2004. There was a lot of off-the-field drama, and Gary Crone wasn't the greatest CEO, but there was a lot of youth going through that difficult stretch, and then it led to a huge payoff in 06. Hopefully, that 2006-type season can pay off soon for BYU football. We're kind of seeing it in BYU basketball right now as well. A bunch of mediocre years, a lot of youth, but then you finally start to get old, and you have the big season. BYU football, because of all this youth and the investment into the youth, you got to love that because I think it's going to have a payoff eventually. Now it's a matter of executing. You can tweet at me what you think or what you love about BYU football right now in 2020 and beyond. Get at me at Mitch_Harper and at KSL Sports. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com. And make sure to go to KSLSports.com to get the latest, my bylines on BYU and everyone else's content. We're at the NBA All-Star game right now in Chicago. Ben Anderson, Jeremiah Jensen, and Matt Glade. So check us out, KSLSports.com. We're taking over everything. So it's good stuff. It's a good time to be here at KSL. So I'll talk to you on Saturday on KSL News Radio on Cougar Sports Saturday. So be on the lookout for that. I'll talk to you then here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.